Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Give it to me!
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, and thank you for it, where we analyze what are sometimes the hottest trends, what are sometimes trends in our own mind, what are frequently, it appears, about to become the hottest trends. And we do so by our not yet patented scientific method of occasionally leaving the house.
Yeah, I'm working on the cladistics of things, like how to classify them into the number of categories that we have for the types of things. Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that on my long, long drive from the San Francisco airport today because San Francisco traffic is a thing. Mm. And I was thinking, I don't know why, I was thinking about how we should classify our things, but it is true that sort of generally the ethos of this show has not been so much about the big, huge pop culture thing.
Right.
But like lately we've included that, but I think we've been right to include it because there are things that transcend, as we have much discussed, their popularity and then become like a shared experience. And then some of them are literally just like, dudes, I got a thing.
It's called It's a Thing, not It's the Thing, right?
Oh, nice. Yes.
And mm-hmm. I think It's a Thing could in some ways be conceived of as the answer to, are you seeing this too?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yep. Because sometimes, man, someday we're going to take this show national and we're going to get segments like, is this a thing? Mm-hmm. Is it only my thing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The biggest,
exactly.
The thing. We could be like, so this week, the thing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that could be an honorific that we give something, right? Like Old Town Road could have been like, you know what? It may have graduated from a thing to the thing.
It is the thing, like arguably of 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
Potentially, it and Keanu.
The Thing anyway. Awards coming soon.
Oh, yay! It's going to be a whole new level of Patreon, but it could happen. It could happen.
Meanwhile.
Hit it.
We have beer and clothing for you today. I'm going to start with my beer, may I?
Please do.
Bud Light. By the way, this PR Newswire press release informed me that Bud Light has only been around since 1982.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it went back into the 70s, but apparently not.
Hmm.
Anyway, Bud Light is being brewed as an audio-infused beer.
What?
Yeah. They have a special batch of beer being infused with the sounds of Laura Branigan's Gloria.
Is that the one that goes, Gloria, mm-hmm. Gloria?
I think they got your number.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can even watch a Twitch channel where you can see headphones on the tank infusing the song into the beer.
I'm literally in the, they're going to, the, okay, I'm sorry. I would like to go back in time a little bit to when Goop was a thing and Gwyneth Paltrow took a raft of manure for having a guy who suggested in her newsletter, like, you know, some scientist type, whatever, mm-hmm. who suggested that you could influence the growth of plants by saying positive or negative things to them. And then if you directed all this negative energy at the plants, they would die. And if you directed positive energy at the plants, they would bloom and do better. And everybody was like, quackarama ding dong. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Gwyneth is such a wackadoodle. And now you have Bud Light putting out an actual press release saying that they're just going to blast this song at beer for mm-hmm. 24 hours, and that is now an okay marketing technique?
For three weeks, they'll be doing this to create the Gloria Brew.
Gloria!
Don't you think you're falling?
Did you only pick this because of hockey?
I know about it because Gloria is the song that the St. Louis Blues play when they win. I know about it because I have been playing Gloria a lot because I'm a St. Louis Blues fan, and I have had to find places to play it that don't annoy everyone who isn't a St. Louis Blues fan.
Just like you, dear listeners, are going to be annoyed by me singing it throughout this entire podcast because it was this. I can't believe that you're able to say it out loud without singing it.
It's only through heavy practice and concentration that I'm able to pull that off. The story of Gloria as the
Gloria!
blues theme is weird. It goes to a bar in Philadelphia. You've been a part of a bar culture before. Have you had a regular bar ever?
Sure. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Silver Dollar.
And so you have those in jokes in the bar, right? That everybody who goes to the bar all the time knows, right? And when I went to the Texas Showdown in Austin, there were always, you know, those in jokes about who ordered what, or somebody always wanting to play a song in the jukebox or whatever, right? Oh, we played the song, but Jennifer must be here. Where is she? There was a bar in Philadelphia where they decided randomly that Laura Branigan's Gloria was good luck for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
And so this has been their thing, is to give the Eagles good luck, they play Gloria. The St. Louis Blues are in town to play the Philadelphia Flyers, get taken to this bar, and are watching a playoff game that the Eagles are playing in. And at every commercial break, everybody in the bar is like, you got to play Gloria, DJ. It's good luck for the Eagles. And the Blues decide, okay, we're gonna steal this.
We're gonna make this our
locker room song, just kind of as an in joke for themselves, because they thought it was so hilarious and everybody in the bar was fun. And so in their locker room, they started to play Gloria and, of course, go on an 11-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Then it starts to catch on with the St. Louis fans. The Blues end up in the playoffs. The Blues win the Stanley Cup. And now Play Gloria is on merchandise. It's on shirts. There was a station in St. Louis that played Gloria for 24 hours on the radio's day on the radio. And of course, now Anheuser-Busch InBev deciding to have audio-infused beer.
There were so many things in there.
Yeah.
Actually, like the Gloria thing is too. But yeah, the Gloria brew. I'm just a little hung up on the infuse. How
I mean,
can
I don't
really
think they're
call
taking
that
very,
an infusion.
They're not taking it very seriously, right?
But they are. It's in the PR Newswire.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think they're trying to claim any effects of it.
They're
basically saying, we will sell this in a bottle that says 2019 Champs Gloria on it.
Gloria! Exactly what it says. Actually, it says Gloria, Gloria. It says it two times. Gloria! Gloria! Mm-hmm. Gloria! Okay, I'm done. I promise.
Don't you think you're falling? If everybody wants to.
There you go. There you go.
Isn't anybody calling?
It's so good.
You don't have to answer. You probably shouldn't answer.
It's actually amazing. And I would like to point out that producer Rich has noted in the Discord that evidently.
I can't do it. I was totally dancing
and then I was snapping. A whole dance happened.
Everyone I know is tired of that song now.
Audio, I'm not. I'm still not. I'm new here. There we go. Oh, that's right. You're always on the run now.
Yeah, the lyrics have nothing to do with anything regarding this. The rest of the
story. It is a great party song, though.
It is. Very upbeat. Not lyrics-wise, but beat-wise.
I'm adding this to my running playlist. Hey, Siri.
You should.
Remind me at 6 o'clock to add Gloria to my running playlist.
Okay.
I'm glad you could all be here for that.
All right. Tell me you have a better beer
anyway,
story.
Anyway, well, I don't, but I do want to say, I mean, I have a good story, I think. But Rich, producer Rich, put in the Discord a link that apparently, that says evidently you can make a lot of noise at whiskey and it will age it faster.
Is this real?
I don't know.
We need to investigate this. It's possible to make whiskey taste as though it's been aged for years with sound waves?
Hit it with sound waves for about as long as you'd watch a TV. I'm just saying that the world owes Gwyneth an apology.
Maybe. Well, maybe. Possibly for other things too.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. My thing that is a thing, and I didn't even realize, as usual, how much of a thing it in fact is. But you guys... Bob Ross is a thing again, all over again.
Okay, so second return of Bob Ross became a thing when Twitch streamed all his shows a year or two back, right?
Maybe that's what returned it. But somehow, you know how like that just sort of stayed at the Twitch level.
Mm-hmm,
like I do, now that you mentioned it, I remember hearing about that. But now it's gotten to this sort of like, it's trickled out into meme world.
Uh-huh.
You know, and
that makes sense, right? That'd be the next step. Sure.
It's definitely the next step. And in fact, there was pretty recently, like just in May of this year, this incredible YouTube video where this woman who's a Disney artist, Laura Price, tried to follow. She's a digital artist, and she tried to follow along with a Bob Ross tutorial. So she's on her touchscreen with a stylus, and he's just doing his show.
Okay.
You know? Like, or she's watching
puffy
an old
clouds.
Bob Ross show, Puffy Little Clouds, exactly. And like, we'll just bend the brush like this and just dab, 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 dab. And it'll look just like snow on the roof of the cabin. Dab, 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 dab. And she's like, you know, tap, 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 tap. And she's like, Jesus, this is so hard. And it's mesmerizing. It's like an hour long and it has like 3 million views. And it's just so, okay, I don't know, like 26 minutes long and it has 2.5 million views. But whatever. It's amazing. And I just keep hearing about Bob Ross, and I keep seeing little like Bob Ross comments and, you know, cameo type things. And then turns out, as I was doing my little research for the show, that there are, in fact, there's a Bob Ross experience, and this is where the beer comes in. In Ohio, there's going to be a Bob Ross experience, a paint night fundraiser at Fathead's Breweries. And then all the proceeds will go to Make-A-Wish, which is incredible. But also,
man, all the cool things happen in Ohio.
Do they?
The Soundwave whiskey, the Bob Ross thing,
oh
our producer.
Oh, you're right. My new friend is from Ohio.
Ohio's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Ohio produces good things, apparently. Things. It's a thing. Well, okay, but the other thing that is cool that Bob Ross is getting is a museum debut in Chicago.
Ah.
But it's at the DePaul Art Museum in Chicago. And I'm not even going to lie, like, I kind of want to go. I can't believe that. He apparently has never, which is sort of not surprising, because even though his technique is harder than I think we all realize, it still is ultimately like sort of hotel art at the end. He's never been featured officially in a museum before, but his work has been loaned out once before to the Lyndon B. Johnson Presidential
Library. Is Bob Ross going to become kind of a Van Gogh or Van Gogh? Where he, like, totally underappreciated in his time,
maybe,
and thought of as just kind of a hack, and people sold the paintings for cheap, and then is considered a master now.
Yeah, he is not normally included on lists. I'm reading now from mentalfloss.com. He isn't normally included on lists of influential artists of the 20th century, but the exhibit argues that he contributed to trends in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
And that his creative philosophy reflected, among other things, the rise of optimism and sincerity in art, which is probably why people like him so much now, because there's this sort of like death of irony thing happening. It's just beautiful.
A lot of times, artists particularly, and all kinds of creative endeavors, are not appreciated in their time because they are of their time and everyone thinks what they're doing is obvious.
Right.
Shakespeare is an example. Everybody thought he was a hack. They're like, Mom, of course he's commenting on the Queen, because everybody knows that.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And now we're like, wait, what? Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing for it. So his it's not a like, haha, Bob Ross is a thing exhibit, by the way, exhibition. It's New Age, Strategies for Survival, and four of his landscape oil paintings, which represent self-care in the New Age movement, are included.
Nice.
Bob Ross. He's back. He's back, baby. Ooh, that would be a good Halloween costume.
Bob Ross.
Bob Ross.
Well, did you see the Deadpool promo a year ago for Deadpool 2, where Reynolds dressed up as Deadpool dressed up as Bob Ross?
Really? So he's been a thing for a while. It seems like he just now, like, he hit.
It's just, well, we're getting peak Bob Ross.
We're at peak Bob Ross.
Bob Ross is now in the puffy little clouds of things.
And he's looking down being like, it's about damn time.
My grandmother loved his show on PBS.
Really?
And I have a painting that I am looking at right now of a tree.
Oh, really?
In a field of grass that my grandma painted. It does not look like Bob Ross, but it was her, you know, It was one of her exercises. And there's a little person with a yellow shirt and a red cap out in the field that was supposed to be me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tom, that's amazing. That's quite beautiful, actually. I love it.
I know it's me because I remember when she was painting it, she's like, this is you. And I'm like, then you have to put my Cardinals cap on him. And that's why he's got a little red cap.
Aww. Reportedly, in other fun facts about Bob Ross, he didn't care for the perm, but he wore it throughout the show, his hair.
Why did he wear it then?
I don't really know. I guess because it was sort of like his thing. You
okay.
know?
Yeah.
And he also, on the show, preferred never to use the word mistakes, and he referred to them instead as happy accidents.
Aww.
I know.
I think that's why he has caught on, right? Is everybody's like, oh, he's just so positive and genuine. And
he's like the freaking Fred Rogers of
yeah.
painters, yeah.
Whereas back when he was on PBS, we're like, ugh, he's so genuine.
I guess so, because Gen Xers are the worst. Because Gen Xers are the worst. That makes perfect sense. Gen Xers are like, oh, please.
Well, because it was Gen Xers are responding to the positive optimism that was unwarranted from the baby boomers, right?
Right, I guess.
All reactions.
Oy. Well, I'm glad he's back because he's what the world Yay. Needs right now. We need happy little trees.
I think Generation Xers embrace Bob Ross now.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We totally like, you know, people. Well, I say we, but I took that New York Times quiz, and apparently I'm just a slightly old millennial.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which actually I knew because I definitely fall in the gap of the years, mm-hmm. like the generation years. Like I'm a little too young for Gen X and a little too old for millennial.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I never have totally related to all the movies and slackers and things like that. Mm-hmm. But then I took the quiz and they were like, yeah, you're just an old millennial.
I'm Gen X. Like I'm dead center Gen X. Yeah. I know no way out of it. I'm in the valley. Yeah.
All right.
So then I haven't taken the quiz, but I know I would be.
You're like, I feel confident.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I bought Douglas Copeland's book when it was out new in college and bought copies to give to friends.
Hold on,
of course, by Douglas Copeland's book, I mean the book Generation X.
Okay, thanks. I literally think this is... I was looking it up on DuckDuckGo.
And there you go. That's that right there.
That right there was the difference.
Yep. My next thing is actually a chance for both of us to learn something about Gen Z.
Ooh, yes. Okay. I'm into it.
And not what they will eventually be called, because I don't know Gen Z is going to stick around. We'll see.
Yeah.
Millennials used to be Gen Y for a while, and then they became millennials. So, but The Atlantic had a story a couple of weeks ago, week and a half ago, about Depop, which is an app thrift store full Amazing. Of influencers and new clothing.
Oh, wait. What? Like you run your own store on Depop? Like an Etsy?
Depop looks very much like Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you sell your used clothing by taking really good shots, Instagram quality shots, and then sell it for cheap. Like you can get, you know, J. Crew shirts for $12. Yeah,
right.
Right? Yeah, you're giving it as discount. Some shirts are even like $5, whatever. And then if you're doing it right, you get a following, people who always like your stuff. And some people in this Atlantic article are described as like, I had to start going out to thrift stores to buy more used clothing because my following was getting bigger. And then if you get big enough on Depop, then you can strike a deal with textile manufacturers and come out with your own line of clothing. And even though it's not used, you've got enough of a following that people are like, oh yeah, her sense of style is so great. I'm gonna definitely follow her. Or like, oh man, I always like the colors he picks, so I'm definitely gonna buy his stuff.
Yeah.
And so it appeals to Gen Z because of the savings at the beginning, but then it's also got that social networking influencer juice going
totally.
On.
Totally. And I am not at all surprised to see that this article came from Taylor Lorenz, who has her finger so on the pulse of internet culture that it sometimes hurts. Like, I'm just like, why didn't I think of that story? She's so good. And this is fascinating in a million different ways, not least of which is that, so it's similar to, because I think maybe Marketplace just had a story on how popular reselling clothes is because of the savings, but also because these younger people like don't want to, they're less consumer oriented, right? They're trying to consume less and have a smaller footprint and responsibly recycle.
Yeah, yeah. There's an aspect that's appealing because of the reuse too. Yeah.
Yep. Totally.
Like and I don't want to contribute to waste, so I'll just buy used clothing.
Yeah. And it's totally like what we all would do if we were just smart and budget conscious.
I mean, it's what I told myself when I lived in Austin in the 90s when I bought only thrift store clothing.
Right.
Like, also, I'm not contributing to waste. Also, I can't afford actual clothes.
But it is pretty hysterical that
both of these things are true.
But then that would, of course, in the way of I was just at this conference called Circularity, and they were talking about, like, in the sustainability and environment way, but in the circularity that is capitalism, of course, the idea of responsibly reusing and reselling clothes eventually became an influencer business, because that's like the influencer economy is like gravity right now. Like, whatever you're doing, I bet you can make money as an influencer on it.
Yeah. Well, exactly, right? Because if you're Depop, right? Depop didn't start this simply to help the world. I'll go ahead and give them credit. Like, oh yeah, you probably want to make the world a better place. But Depop thought, okay, we can make a certain amount of money off of used clothing transactions.
Right.
But where we get the real money is when we get these people to sell at scale. And
yep.
I'm sure this part I'm unclear on, but I'm sure Depop certainly takes a cut of the new clothing, but also probably helps hook up those brand deals, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God. That's amazing. Yeah. I'm clearly not cool enough to shop there, but I love the idea of a marketplace where you can just sort of sell your stuff easily and that's all it's for. Like, you know, I've thought sometimes, like, consigning is kind of a rat. You know, I'm working
eBay
through them now.
eBay can be complex for people.
eBay is like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and that it's just hard to sell. And then, like, consignment is easier, but you really don't make that much money. And sometimes I'm like, this was really expensive. And anyway, it would be really cool to basically just be like, here, I've set up my own little shop for used TV clothes.
Shipping on this Duff Beer t-shirt is $3, bringing the total to $18.
Amazing.
It doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
No, it really doesn't.
That's, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of Simpsons t-shirts. Stuff on here, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Because vintage, right?
Because vintage, yes. And 90s. Oh,
yep.
Oh, can I throw in a sub thing? Maybe I should save it. I'll save it. I'll put
it
in the bullpen.
Tease ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Stay
Next
tuned,
week.
Folks. What is the nature of your tease?
It is related to 90s nostalgia and capitalism.
All right. More 90s nostalgia and capitalism coming soon.
It's a good one.
All right.
And now comes the part of the show where I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable a little bit.
Okay.
Sorry. Maybe not as uncomfortable as at-home waxing, but my next thing is bras. Bras are a thing. Disrupting
bras. Nothing uncomfortable about bras.
Reinventing bras. Okay, good.
I mean, I'm sure there are uncomfortable bras.
Bras are uncomfortable.
There should not be anything uncomfortable about a man talking about bras. That's just silly.
Okay, awesome. I wait the emails. No, I'm just kidding. But I felt like a disclaimer was in order just in case. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
So, I mean, you probably aren't getting these, to be fair, but I constantly get Instagram ads for bras. Constantly. From like a lot of different companies.
I get ads for bras on the BBC app.
Really?
I don't know what weird ad targeting algorithm is doing that. I don't see them on Instagram. I don't see them anywhere else. And no, Eileen does not use my BBC News app or login.
I know. I was like, is this like a login thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I get dresses and bras on my I'm like, who do you, what? Okay. And I just keep scrolling.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, yeah. So, okay. Even you have seen them, which is kind of amazing.
Well, probably not. Yeah. At the scale, but sure.
Yeah. I mean, I get one every day. But what I think is interesting is that for a long time, I just got bra ads from Third Love, which is, you know, like a somewhat new direct-to-consumer bra brand.
From Heidi Zak.
From Heidi Zak.
I say, reading it off the L story you gave me, as if
right.
I know.
But they did. I mean, a lot of people did find out about them because there was this whole flap with Victoria's Secret, because the Victoria's Secret chief marketing officer was basically like, I don't know, it's bras for fat ladies, like something dumb like that, right? And they were just like, okay.
That ain't good.
So they took out, Third Love took out a full page ad in the New York Times to be like, you're awful. You're everything that's wrong with everything, which is true. And they're everything that's wrong with bras.
Okay.
And probably for like decades, women have been like, can we just freaking fix bras? But anyway, now there are, like, now I'm starting to see, I noticed, lots more ads for lots more bras from lots more direct-to-consumer bra companies.
Ah, so it's a trend.
It's a total trend. And it appears to be just like really, they think, I guess, a really lucrative new market segment. And it's different, you know, it's like they're supposed to fit better. And there's like a quiz to see if like one's bigger than the other. And they
so
can adjust for
someone's that. Someone's disrupting bras or trying to.
Yes, at long freaking last.
Yeah.
And then not just one company is disrupting bras. Like now everybody's like, hot damn, disrupted the bras. Although I'm noticing that as the bra ads get more and more prevalent, like they're really still, like I'm starting to wonder, like maybe bras can't be disrupted because at the end of the day, they're all still kind of the same.
Well, that's the thing.
Like they're still underwire and they're still like this and that.
Is there a new approach that makes them more comfortable and easier to wear?
They're more customized, I will say. Okay. And I think that's because of the direct-to-consumer thing. So you do this quiz and you do the fit and you know, it's like you want the right, like it has to be the right strap size. But like most women are a little uneven and there are some that you can get half sizes. Like Third Love pioneered the half size.
So this is similar to some of the stuff going on with like shoes where they're like, hey, people's feet aren't always the same size either. So maybe get better measurements.
Yep, totally. But I think that the whole like, I don't know. And it's true that previously I was like, I guess I'm not sure even, I had not thought about where I go to buy bras, right? It's just like, I don't know, like the Gap, I guess, or,
just
you know,
thing you got
to
do.
If I'm going to get real about it, I go to Nordstrom and you have a whole fitting thing and you spend a crap ton of money. That's horrible. And I think they're just trying to recreate the crap ton of money Nordstrom fitting in direct to consumer brands. But now it's just like, so it's a thing, but then it's fallen into that category of like, well, are you just a sketchy Instagram, you know, like China company.
Like anything, once it becomes big enough, then the fraudsters and scamsters show up.
Exactly. But luckily, I was able to, you know, do a little DuckDuckGo and find out, like, some right now. Now you have to, like, comparison shop your direct-to-consumer bra brands. It's a thing. It's constant.
By the way, side note, I think we are making DuckDuckGoing something a thing.
No, it's a really awkward verb, but I want it to be a thing.
I was just doing Current Geek with Scott Johnson, and during the show, I was like, you've got a search engine. He's like, yes, I'm DuckDuckGoing it right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I bet there's a way we could use the proper name. Like, we could just be like, hold on, DuckDuckGo. Make a little typing noise.
Almost like pole position.
Ooh, good one. Good throwback.
Thank you.
All right, those are all our things. Shall we move on to your things?
Yes, CBS Sunday Morning has also acknowledged that Minecraft is still a thing. Thank you, Matt Battaglia, for sending that along.
He even sent the YouTube link.
That's great.
That makes me feel like we may, in all due respect to, I don't know why I prefaced the really not respectful thing I'm about to say, but the fact that it was then on CBS Sunday Morning makes me feel like we came to that late. Harsh.
It's a little cold over there in the shade on Sunday morning on CBS. Yeah.
We did get a bunch of no, that was great, and we nailed it this week. Speaking of things that where we crushed it, like I love that the feedback segment is basically like we're awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
Why not? It's our show. Eric writes in and says this week a promo email from the Chubby's swim trunk website, which I'm sorry, what now? Was promoting customer favorites, and he said with no context and no reference to it inside the email, the subject line was Keanu raves.
Oh my gosh, that's just really trying to get opens, right?
Yeah. Really, but putting Keanu in there. I'm going to go back and find out who it was that tweeted me about how there's a Twitter feed that is basically like Keanu Reeves walks to music. That sound you just heard was my reminder to add Gloria to my running playlist. Gloria!
Excellent. Good. Very glad. I'm
all right.
Super happy that that's going to happen. Also,
thanks for that.
Shannon, the thing spotter, pointed out that her hip hop class at her daughter's dance studio started learning this dance today, and it's a video with Old Town Road.
Oh my God. That is amazing. Also, Shannon, as usual, basically our number one scout. She's our number one thing scout.
Yep.
Brandon on Patreon writes, just catching up on episodes and was listening to this one on the way to the ice hockey practice for my kids. Dang. They got a big kick out of it because hockey is definitely a thing in Tampa Bay. Hadn't even watched a full game before moving here. a few years ago.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because the Lightning have been great, but also hockey in Florida,
where yeah, that's
football
weird.
And baseball have problems drawing people, but yeah.
But hockey, okay, maybe you're right. We'll see. Just, you know, we'll see.
I'm not giving up. Then we got Shannon again. On Sunday, I was watching the E3 Xbox press conference with my husband, and Keanu Reeves came out. Yep. My husband said, no one else could have gotten that reaction. Later that day, I listened to It's a Thing where you talked about Keanu Reeves, and just now I was looking at a Chris Evans tweet about Keanu behind the scenes in Toy Story 4, and whose reply should I see but our own Molly Wood.
That's true. That did happen. I saw him tweet about Keanu, and I was like, shut the front door! And I retweeted it.
Last week, I was waiting at my daughter's dance studio, and another mom said she had been at the beach the previous day watching soccer games. She proceeded to describe sand soccer, which is played on the beach with sand socks and no shoes. They have whole tournaments of sand soccer. As soon as my brain yelled, that's a thing, I knew I had to report it. I believe this tournament was in Huntington Beach. That would make sense. This sounds crazy to me because it's just hard to walk on the sand, and soccer is mostly running back and forth. Also, my grandmother, who's 82, started talking to me about Drake and the Warriors yesterday.
That is amazing.
Shannon is like a nexus of thing.
She is a nexus.
Yeah.
Also, I looked up sand soccer, and it's a thing, and that sounds horrific.
Well done, Shannon. Well done again.
Huntington
Beach has a great dog beach. And they just, you know, they're one of those beach towns in Southern California. So it doesn't surprise me that if there were going to be a sand soccer, it would start there.
It's like there. It's lots of places, though. There's like the there's a whole North American one.
Oh, really?
A Virginia Beach one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 200,000
participants in the 26th annual North American Sand Soccer Championships in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The images are pretty funny because they range from like little cute adorable children to this really really hardcore looking tournament. Where was this one?
Did I tell you I
Uganda?
I walked through the National Pickleball Championships.
No, but you know what? I think that's a thing.
Pickleball, also a thing.
They just introduced it. I belong to like a swim and tennis club, which I know sounds really ridiculous, but it's like the people's club, you guys. It's inexpensive. But they just introduced pickleball and couldn't have made a bigger deal out of it.
And there's like graphite many pickleball paddles that you can buy.
It's like a high big end deal. Equipment.
Crazy.
I put a link in the Discord, by the way, to a story about the Copa Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, which is a sand soccer tournament.
The Copa, like cup. Copa.
Like cup.
The Dar es Salaam cup.
The Dar es Salaam cup. And it's a picture of the Uganda sand cranes.
I bet. Oh, it makes. This is a worldwide sport. Soccer in places that have sand.
Right.
That's a lot of the earth right there.
That's a thing.
Well done, Shannon.
Well done, Shannon, as always. If you heard me mention the Discord and you didn't know what I was talking about, this might be a great time to tell you that if you support the show by becoming a member at patreon.com/itsathing and you are familiar with discord.com, which is the It's Not All Nazis and Video Games live chat app. Sorry, Discord. You can connect your Patreon account to the Discord and you can participate in our tapings live, and you'll get like funny little links and a little pre-show and some chit chat. And even if you don't figure that all out, you get an ad-free RSS feed and you get like a version of the podcast with the bonus content.
Yeah. You can also email us your things, like Shannon, to feedback@itsathing.me.
Mm-hmm. Keep them coming. Tweet them. And we'll talk to you again next time. Thanks for bearing with us when we missed a week. We're happy to be back.
Thanks for giving us the time off.
Yeah, seriously. Bye. You could rock that, Gloria. You don't have to censor yourself.
It faded out on me. It faded out on me. Fine. Here we go. I'll just give you the real stuff. There we go. Goodbye.
Give it to me.
Oh, all right. Bye.
Give it to me.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.